All right, so after Nathan went for a half an hour, I have to cut my time down. So, no, it's been a real blessing to be here tonight. And I really love my church family, I love my church, and I'm very grateful for every single person here. And it's actually an honour to be a deacon here in this church, and I'm very grateful for God for that opportunity. If you turn to Psalm chapter 16, there's a verse in here that I've always read, and I've just always thought about this verse, and I've always liked it. And it's Psalm chapter 16, verse 6, and it says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage." And so to understand this, where it talks about the lines have fallen, we have to go back to the times when the children of Israel were entering into the promised land. And you read through Joshua, you'll understand that they chopped up the promised land for all the different tribes. And then from that point on, there was boundaries and landmarks put in place for families within those tribes. And so the lines were drawn up and the lands were given to each tribe and then to each family. And as families as the families grew, the lines then got redrawn for the different families as they grew. So whenever I think about that passage, I go to a place where perhaps an Israelite fella, I don't know, what's a good Israelite name? Elihu or something like that. Like just with his staff, and he would have climbed to the top of the hill, and he would know that his land was drawn from, say, the river over there through to the mountain ridge over there. And he'd go, it comes along to this landmark here and it goes across to there. And then with his hands, he'd be able to draw the lines and he'd see exactly where his land was. And the psalmist here, David, says the lines had fallen in pleasant places. So perhaps, Elihu saw, oh, look at this. I've got a spring that comes up in my land and the water never dries up. Okay? And he'd look a bit over there and go, oh, I've got a grove of palm trees. I've got dates. And and inside he's like, I've got a really good plot. And then perhaps you'd look and see, I've got some flat pasture. I know I can get some sheep happening here. And all these things would be going through his head as he surveyed his land. And he'd be able to say, the lines have fallen in pleasant places. And that's what that literally means. He had good pasture within his lines that he had been allotted. And obviously for us today, very few of us do that. You know, if you've got your 300 square metre block, you can shape it out pretty quickly. But I think about that passage often, and for me, I look at my own life and I can see where the lines have fallen in my own life, and they've fallen in pleasant places. I can see that because I think about the heritage that I've got, not only in this church, but also from my family. So you just heard my dad, he grew up in a Christian household, and so did my mum on her side. Both sets of my grandparents were active Christians. So from both sides, I was blessed to be in that generational line of having Christianity. And for me, I look at that and I'll say in my heritage, the lines fell in pleasant places for me. And I'm very, very grateful for that. That's something that I intend to pass on for my children to make sure they understand where we came from and what that means for us moving forward. Something about those boundaries that's really important was that God told the children of Israel, they had to respect those boundaries. They weren't allowed to move them. They weren't allowed to muck around with them. They weren't allowed to shift them a little bit each year to gain more land. They had to make sure those landmarks remained in their places because this protected the heritage of each person. This was really, really important to the Israelites. You think back to when King Ahab wanted to have his little vineyard next to his palace. And so he told Naboth, I'll buy your vineyard off you. I'll give you a better one if you want, in fact. And he said, no, because this is from my father's. It came down from my father. So that was more important to him than a better vineyard. And we know that what Ahab did to Naboth, he had him killed so he could claim his vineyard. And it's something that Naboth took his heritage seriously and it cost him his life. A wicked person will not take their heritage seriously or the heritage of others seriously. They'll trample it underfoot. And so I want to encourage you, make sure you take your heritage seriously because God really does. So that verse 6 in Psalm is something that I really reflect on. So you tonight, you might have a different story. Your story might be that you've only just gotten saved and no one in your family is saved. That might be your story. Or perhaps you got saved a bit later in life and you're trying to bring up your kids now in the right way, but you've got a bit of baggage and things like that. And that's all fine. That's your story. And that's, you get to start off. You get to be that first person in that Christian line now. You get to create that heritage. But if your story is different to mine, then still praise the Lord, because you've got that opportunity to start again. But the main aspect of our heritage, it's all good to have a long heritage and things like that, but the main aspect, if you look at verse 5 of that chapter, so before 6, before we see that those lines were drawn in that fell in pleasant places, have a look at verse 5. It says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." And that is the most important aspect of our heritage, is to have the Lord. It doesn't matter about anything else. If you don't have the Lord as the portion of your inheritance, then nothing else matters. So for us today, what does that mean for us? It means Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You're saved. That's the first thing. Because when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He then becomes that portion, becomes that inheritance for you. So if you're thirsting tonight, He promises that he can provide you water that you'll never thirst again. No one else can do that for you. If you're hungry, if your soul's hungry for anything tonight, Jesus Himself, He's the bread of life. He promises He can fill your soul with those things that you need. If you're lonely and you need fellowship, Jesus promises to be that person that He'll fellowship with you. If you're heavy laden, you're carrying burdens, Jesus also said, "I'll carry your burdens, my yokes." He cast our care on Him because He cares for us. And His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Jesus can relate to you, we can cast our burdens on Him. If you're lost tonight, and this is all aspects of being lost, you can be a Christian and just be lost, you know, and just not sure which way your life's going. Jesus proved He came to find us. He came and died on the cross, and He proved that He'll come and find us. And it's something that it says in Matthew 18:11, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." And then He talks about the 99 sheep, and then He'll go out and find that one sheep, even though He's got the other 99. He loves you that much. So along with those specific boundaries, those specific things that we see that Jesus will do for us if we have Him as our inheritance, there are other boundaries that I'll quickly just cover. I'll go through really quickly because there's one really important one that I want to talk about at the end. But God has these other boundaries that are timeless, okay? And these boundaries, as humans, we try and change, we try and shift, we try and do whatever we can, but they can't be changed. These are things like light and darkness, okay? God made light and darkness. Truth and falsehoods. You know, we'll try and shift and change them, but it doesn't matter. There's either truth or it's false. There's wisdom and there's foolishness. Male and female. That's a big one these days. Life and death. Life and death. Good and evil. Right and wrong, and the big one, salvation and condemnation. Okay, these two things that will never change. These things are set in stone, and no matter how much you try and alter these things, you won't be able to. I guarantee you, though, you base yourself on God's word and you live according to His word, you'll be on the right side of the ledger on every single one of those things, just purely by being based on God's word. God's word is timeless, His ancient boundaries will remain. His moral boundary stones are set in place, and he commands us against moving them. That still holds to this day. God's laws are recorded in heaven for all time as His moral standards. But the scene here on earth, as we know, is very different. Humans were notorious for moving boundaries, and that ends up hurting us a lot, ends up hurting other people a lot when we move God's boundaries. People get tired of God's boundaries. They make up their own. The ancient boundaries are getting moved again and again in every single sphere of our life. People think that because we can't see moral boundaries, that they don't really exist. Or they must be just human in origin, but that couldn't be further from the truth. These are all God-ordained. The fact that there's no immediate consequences to crossing a moral boundary encourages us to be shallow and careless with them. Although some of our civil laws are still elements of God's law, most people no longer have many moral standards. They see them as movable, and when people move God's standards, it hurts people. And there's the one boundary that's more important than all the others, and that's the boundary between salvation and condemnation, spiritual life and death. It might surprise you that this is a clear boundary, but God has made it very, very clear, as Nathan spoke about as well. There's a very clear boundary here between salvation and condemnation. Jesus says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then John 8:12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Bible clearly teaches us that most people are not moving toward God, but we're moving away from God. And the proof of this is in how we live our lives these days. God has provided a way for us to cross from spiritual death to life, from darkness to light. And crossing this boundary is very easy, as you heard my dad say. It's calling out to Christ, and countless people have done this throughout history, calling out to Christ to save our sinful souls. Jesus Christ, he told us himself in those verses I just read. So tonight, I'll finish with this. If you haven't already believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I really pray that you'll do it, okay? That boundary between salvation and condemnation will never, ever get moved, okay? You have to get this one right. It's the most significant decision you'll ever make. That's it. Thank you.